Welcome to room 4216. I'm so glad you've come.
Did I hear you say you like a good peanut butter and jelly sandwich?
Yep, for breakfast, lunch, or dinner.
Yeah, mm-hmm. With crunchy peanut butter, it is good,
crunchy,
isn't it?
Crunchy peanut butter, excuse me?
Yeah, that's how... What you got to eat it with.
No, it's creamy peanut butter.
Creamy? You're crazy. Why would you want creamy?
The creamy tastes better. It's softer. It's easier to swallow, and I don't want to have to chew my peanut butter.
What do you just do? Take the sandwich and just swallow it down because it's so easy to swallow? What are your teeth for? It is for chewing.
Yes,
and
but
that's
I don't want it in my mouth.
Has.
I don't want it in my mouth hours later.
Oh.
And have you ever had ice cream with peanut butter on it? Delicious.
Have you ever had ice cream with peanuts on it? Delicious. And
not.
That's crunchy. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I mean, and what do you think they make Reese's peanut butter cups with?
Sugar.
And?
So much sugar that it covers over the fact that it's just plain, creamy peanut butter. I mean,
rice.
Really, and that's the thing about the creamy peanut butter. It has so much sugar just to make it palatable. But when you have crunchy, you got the flavor of the peanuts
I
coming through.
Of flavor of peanuts and
no,
creamy
it's
peanut
sugar,
butter.
Sugar, sugar.
Creamy.
Crunchy.
Creamy.
Crunchy.
Creamy.
Crunchy.
Creamy.
Let's go to Bible study. In our last lesson, we read that Moses went up the mountain, and he was up there for 40 days. During that time, we did read and study that God gave him the diagram and description of and how to make the tabernacle, along with how it was to be set within the courtyard. Well, the next chapters then, 27 through 31, go into great depth on many of these items that are in the... especially the courtyard with the bronze basins and the burnt offering altar.
Not to mention all the tent poles.
And the tent poles and the curtain making, yep. And then also the pyramids and what the priests wore. Then we come to chapter 32. Remember last time I said Moses went up on the mountain and he was greatly uplifted by God. But now we come to what happened down at the bottom of the mountain with the people.
When the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, "Come, make us gods who will go up before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him." Aaron answered them, "Take off the gold earrings that your wives, your sons, and your daughters are wearing, and bring them to me." So all the people took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron. He took what they handed him and made it into an idol, cast in the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool. Then they said, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt." When Aaron saw this, he built an altar in front of the calf and announced, "Tomorrow there will be a festival to the Lord." So, the next day, the people rose early and sacrificed burnt offerings and presented fellowship offerings. Afterward, they sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry.
Oh, and now it gets gets very interesting. God's going to respond to all this. Reading on at verse 7.
Then the Lord said to Moses,
"Go down, because your people, whom you brought up out of Egypt, have become corrupt. They have been quick to turn away from what I commanded them, and they have made themselves an idol cast in the shape of a calf. They have bowed down to it and sacrificed to it and have said, 'These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt.' I have seen these people, and they are stiff-necked people. Now leave me alone so that my anger may burn against them and that I may destroy them. Then I will make you into a great nation."
But Moses sought the favor of the Lord his God. "O Lord," he said, "why should your anger burn against your people, whom you brought up out of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, 'It was with evil intent that he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and to wipe them off the face of the earth'? Turn from your fierce anger. Relent and do not bring disaster on your people. Remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, to whom you swore by your own self, 'I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and I will give your descendants all this land as I promised them, and it will be their inheritance forever.' Then the Lord relented and did not bring disaster on his people." Sounds like parents talking when they say, "Do you know what your child did?"
Yeah, it kind of was. God told Moses, "Your people that you brought out." God actually is doing something here. He is setting the stage for a two-level thing. First, for Moses to see if his heart truly is with leading people. And he sets it up so that Moses may say to God, "These are your people. You brought them up." Because Moses turned it right around. And then he quotes God on his promises that you made to Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. I mean, God even said, "I'll make you a great people." And Moses said, No. You already made that promise." And I almost can hear Moses thinking, "Huh, people out of me? Good grief, I'm as bad as them. We're all sinners. And you're going to be at the same spot again, because Abraham was a sinner, I'm a sinner, so just stick with these people, would you, Lord? That's what you promised, so, you know, please relent."
It's not like God didn't know, though, that Moses was as bad as everyone else. I mean, it sounds like he's almost tempting Moses.
Not tempting, but testing.
All right, testing.
Yeah, there's a big difference. And we spoke about that difference in the book of James, if you remember.
Yes, we did.
And if you haven't listened to James, that is up on the webpage to listen to. But back to this point.
So, was God pretending when, I'm sure he was angry with the Israelites, but was he pretending when he said that he would destroy them?
Well, it's interesting, because you actually are leading. I don't know if you remember, I said God was kind of setting the stage here for two things, or on two levels.
Yes.
And God was ready to destroy them, absolutely. But it's setting it up for the second stage. even as Moses interceded for them on their behalf. We're going to see in the New Testament someone intercedes for us on our behalf, even though our sin causes God's anger and he's ready to destroy us. And we'll pick up that whole thought a bit more in the next segment, or maybe two segments later. But just let it be said, yes, God was ready to destroy them because they had sinned, but he has something bigger down the road in mind. And he helped Moses set that up for the bigger thing as well.
Picking up at verse 15. Moses turned and went down the mountain with the two tablets of the testimony in his hands. They were inscribed on both sides, front and back. The tablets were the work of God. The writing was the writing of God, engraved on the tablets. When Joshua heard the noise of the people shouting, he said to Moses, "There is the sound of war in the camp." Moses replied, "It is not the sound of victory. It is not the sound of defeat. It is the sound of singing I hear." When Moses approached the camp and saw the calf and the dancing, his anger burned, and he threw the tablets out of his hands, breaking them to pieces at the foot of the mountain. And he took the calf they had made and burned it in the fire. Then he ground it to powder, scattered it on the water, and made the Israelites drink it.
Moses knew as he started down the mountain what he would see. That's why when he connected up with Joshua, who was waiting for Moses on the mountain, some feet away, how far away we don't know, but not in the sight of God with Moses. Joshua, he was the warrior. That's why he thought war. But Moses knew. Moses knew that they were worshiping a false god. He had the tablets. Those two tablets were stone. Not too big that he couldn't carry them, not too small. We don't know anything more about that. We do know they were placed, well, not this set, but a similar set were placed in the Ark of the Covenant, so it wasn't very big. Had the Ten Commandments on it. Why did he break them, throw them down? Well, it symbolized the fact that the Israelites had broken the Ten Commandments. You know, really, stone, if it's just dropped on the ground, it doesn't necessarily break. But these did break. And I think that really does symbolize the fact that they broke the commandments. They did not follow what they said they would do.
Could he have thrown them just out of sheer anger?
Probably. It does say his anger burned. So sure, sure. And then the calf. It said he put it in the fire and then ground it up. It probably was made of both wood and then covered with a thick layer of gold. So the wood was burnt. And the gold, you know, he ground it up into a powder, put it on water, made him drink it. You know what happens to something when you consume it?
Well, if it's food, it digests.
And comes out as, a pile of poop. Yep. And that's what he's basically saying. Your calf is a pile of poop, and this gold is worth poop. And that's what he thought about it, and that's why he made him drink it. Both out of anger, but out of reality. When you make a god, you fashion a god, it's no god at all. It's just a pile of poop. Well, the story gets even better. Let's read on in verse 21 and following to see what happens next.
Moses said to Aaron, "What did these people do that you led them into such great sin? Do not be angry with me, my Lord," Aaron answered. "You know how prone these people are to evil. They said to me, 'Make us gods who will go before us.' As for this fellow Moses, who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him." So I told them, "Whoever has any gold jewelry, take it off." Then they gave me the gold, and I threw it into the fire, and out came this calf. Moses saw that the people were running wild, and that Aaron had let them get out of control, and so become a laughingstock to their enemies. So he stood at the entrance to the camp and said, "Whoever is for the Lord, come to me." And all the Levites rallied to him. Then he said to them, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Each man strap a sword to his side. Go back and forth through the camp, from one end to the other, each killing his brother and friend and neighbor." The Levites did as Moses commanded, and that day about 3,000 of the people died. Then Moses said, "You have been set apart to the Lord today, for you were against your own sons and brothers, and he has blessed you this day."
I got to admit, this whole chapter 32 is really one of my most favorite stories in the whole book of Exodus. Because Aaron here is trying to duck responsibility. I mean, what did he say when he got the gold and?
He threw it into the fire. And
I think you said it in one of our outtakes. Out popped a calf.
That's right.
It doesn't say that, but it almost sounds like that. Moses realized that Aaron was guilty, also understood, as noted earlier, that Hur may have been killed and Aaron forced into this. But for Moses, the greater issue is whose heart is now with the Lord? And that's why, what did Moses do then when his conversation with Aaron was done?
He went to the entrance of the camp and he said, "Whoever is with the Lord, come to me."
Yeah, come to me. Lots of people worship that golden calf. Not just Aaron, maybe the whole camp. What was really concerning for Moses is how many were just kind of duped and followed, or who really heart was cold against the Lord.
Who were the ringleaders of all this?
You could say ringleaders, sure. Yeah, in some ways they were. Those who didn't trust in the Lord. And that's the ones that Moses wanted to make sure, as God directed, were taken out of the people. And so that's why the Levites then took swords and killed. And notice, they didn't kill everybody. I mean, there's millions of people there.
Mm-hmm.
How many were killed?
About 3,000.
3,000.
And they had to kill their sons, brothers.
Can you imagine?
Neighbors,
and that was what was so friends. Hard. These are family members they may have had to kill.
Mm-hmm.
But the cutting edge of the reason was, who are you trusting in? The Lord or a false god of Egypt? What's amazing is Aaron along with lots of people, were pulled away, even as Adam and Eve were duped into sin. But our God forgives. He forgives sin. His real concern is, will our heart be with Him on a regular basis? That's what we call faith. People, we usually kind of know where we're going on this, but after we just recorded this last segment, Cecilia made some interesting comments that I think it's worth just pulling in here right now, because you may have the same one. Cecilia, what did you say when the mic was off?
I said that I still don't understand why Aaron wasn't killed for building this golden calf.
Yeah, it looks like he was part of that whole process that led the people to worship God, a false god.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Two things enter in here. First, we have to realize he wasn't, which means, first off, that God saw something in his heart that we're not seeing. Otherwise, God would have. Because even as you pointed, he zapped other people, which seems like for less sins than this. Mm-hmm. So God at this point wasn't immune to bringing punishment where he felt it should in the Old Testament, especially to bring his people out of false religions. That's point number one. God didn't. Point number two, all the people were sinning. Not just Aaron, but everybody. And what Moses did was kind of do a gut check. All right, who's with the Lord? Who's with that golden calf thing? And only 3,000 were killed out of millions, which meant the majority of the people do believe in Yahweh, the Lord, but were just led astray. Which leads to another question. Did you commit any sin yet today, Cecilia?
Probably.
I know I have. One sin doesn't separate us from the Lord. It's faith that separates us from the Lord. It's the heart. And obviously, we have to conclude, because Aaron wasn't killed, that his heart was with the Lord, and that's why he wasn't killed. Those whose heart were against the Lord, those are the ones who are killed. And so it is with us. God is a God of mercy by nature. And I mean that, by nature. He has justice, but his justice doesn't always go on the black and white lines that we have. Because if he was totally just, he'd have to zap the whole world, right? We've all sinned.
True.
So instead, he sometimes suspends justice for a little bit for mercy. That's why I find this story so amazing. God's mercy.
Creamy.
Crunchy.
Creamy.
Crunchy.
All right. Let's let the listeners decide. Let's have a poll here. Those of you that like creamy peanut butter, write in and say creamy.
And you who love crunchy, let us know, and we'll show Cecilia's wrong.
Yeah. Right.
The things we cover in room 4216.
That's right.
We love to hear from you, so do write us, and you can do so at
info.
I-N-F-O.
At not-alone.
N-O-T-A-L-O-N-E.
Dot N-E-T.
N-E-T. And remember,
we are not alone.
Do come back again to room 4216.
Credits. Our sincere thanks go to Terry Nord and Robert Vaughn for their interlude music.